You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, amen. Hope you had a great communion time. Thank you, Kyle and Jasmine. It's great to have family here and really reflect on the cross. Certainly gives us an indicator of the way that God imparted his love to mom, and through moms, we see the evidence of God's sacrificial love. So thank you so much for that. Before I get on to my lesson today, I did want to just make this quick announcement, and that is that we have the LA Jubilee coming up in the summertime. And I know Westside, we are the top registered region in LA. Thank you so much for that. Keep registering. Prices go up on Friday. Regular registration price still stands. But this is going to be an incredible pilgrimage of faith and gathering, a conference of spiritual depth. We're doing theology classes, spiritual formation, practical, how to change the world, how small group leaders can lead their groups amazingly. It's going to be filled with all kinds of stuff. Please register for the LA Jubilee. Also, book a room at the Hilton Hotel down there. There's still some rooms available. It's going to be an incredible summer. Please avail yourself of the QR code and register for the Jubilee. Amen. Amen. All right, so today's lesson is called Identified by the Spirit. And we've been teaching about the Holy Spirit for the last month or so. We really want to continue to delve in. There are so many verses in the scriptures that talk about how the Holy Spirit works in our life. The interesting thing is our world is really loud about identity. People are constantly trying to define themselves by career, by culture, by gender, by achievement, sometimes even by trauma, right? Our social media encourages everyone to create a brand out of your own life, right? Of course, they market you. They say you are your own entity, and you should market yourself. So we want to figure out, well, who am I exactly? And that's a very good question for you to begin today. Who are you really? Don't we always ask that a little, like, who am I? Sometimes we think we wear our identities like name tags. I'm successful, or I'm a survivor, or maybe I'm not, or I'm broken, or I've done these great things, or I've graduated from UCLA. Some people say, hey, I'm just like my dad, or I'm not like them, or I'll never want to be like my mom or dad. Family in particular plays a massive role in shaping who we are. Our upbringing, healthy or unhealthy, does leave an imprint on our identity. And for some, family is a source of blessing. It's great to hear Kyle and Jasmine sharing, and so many of you grew up with families faithful to God, and that is a source of encouragement. But sadly, many of us have not had those kinds of experiences, and we carry an identity that is painful in many ways, and it's like an invisible marker in our life, an invisible tattoo of something hurt us growing up. It's great that we're reading the book, Living from the Heart Jesus Gave You. We're learning about how the Joy Center helps us overcome the pains and traumas. I love this quote. It says, we all start out broken, and we all depend on God's family to boost the transformation process for each of us so that we can grow a joyful identity. Our identity is very important. And the book we're going through as a whole church is talking about developing a spiritual identity and a spiritual maturity. You know, certainly like Kyle shared, I'm grateful for the mother and grandmother, Lynn and Carrie, my wife, an incredible woman. I'm grateful for my new daughter-in-law who's a mother in my life. But my own biological mom, she died in 2009, and she was a loving mom. I have no question that my Joy Center, we've been talking about the Joy Center in our midweek classes, I had that formed up. My mom really loved me. There's no question. I have lots of stories. But the challenge for me is my mom also had a lot of trauma as a child, and she began to medicate that trauma through alcohol use, I think in her teens even. And even when my dad met her in Germany, she grew up in Germany. My dad met her, married her, and brought her to America. I was born in Texas. My dad was in the military. But my mom was an alcoholic her entire life. And that created a lot of difficulty and pain. It was very heartbreaking. I actually had to be the parent many times, even as a 10 or 11-year-old. And I know that's not healthy. But those markers, those pains, they don't define my ultimate identity, because a new identity gets created when we have the Spirit of God in us. And today I want to look at a couple of verses that talk about our identity. And the first one is in the book of Romans chapter 8. So let's read there. All right, in Romans chapter 8, it says, "You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." So he says, you are not in the realm of the flesh. You don't have to be defined. When you have the Spirit, you aren't going to be defined by whatever upbringing you had. Now, some of us might have had a great upbringing. Some of us might have been like, hey, I was raised in a godly family. I got my UCLA degree, or maybe some of you think Harvard's better, but whatever you might think, I know Chuka thinks that with his MBA, but here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter your pedigree. Even the Apostle Paul says, whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus. Certainly the good stuff, God will bring that forward into the identity he has in plan, but our identity in Christ is what's essential. And right here we see that it says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. This is a hard teaching because it's basically saying that without the Spirit, we do not belong. You really aren't identified if you don't have the Spirit. So we've been talking as a church what it means to have the Spirit. I did a lesson a couple weeks ago about being born again. There is a way to have the Spirit, and it's important to get the Spirit in your life. If we're not going to get all into the details, I will share one verse, all right? Here, most of us here have gone through this verse. And this is the presence of the Spirit. We receive the Spirit through faith when we repent at our baptism. That's when it's a free gift, right? This opportunity to be identified as something new is a free gift that you do receive. Peter says it right there, the first Sunday morning sermon that he preached after Jesus had ascended to heaven. And he says right there, if you repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, every one of you, you'll receive the forgiveness of sins and the free gift of the Holy Spirit. So this free gift then marks you as a new person, right? This free gift, this gift of the Spirit identifies you. What is your identity? Who are you today? Who you are is who God says you are. And we oftentimes want to define for ourselves who we are, but God's your creator. And it turns out his plan has always been to recreate all of us, which he does when we respond to his message. Now, you might ask the question, but Steve, how can I know? Well, step one, I'm not going to get into all the details here, but you can take a picture of this if you want. How can someone know they have the Holy Spirit? Because if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. The Bible said it point blank. It's just the truth. If you don't have the Spirit in you, you are not a Christian. There aren't Christians who believe, but I don't have the Spirit. No, if you're a Christian, that means you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And we're not going to get into all the details of how you know that. One of the verses, though, that we're going to look at a little today is the Spirit testifies with our spirit and helps us know that we do have him. But I want to talk, the idea today is if you're not sure, we want to help you be sure. We want to help you experience this new identity I'm going to talk about. And so that is our ultimate goal, is that you could have the Spirit today. But when you have the Spirit, you do have a new identity. The Spirit gives you this incredible identity. And let's keep reading the text here from Romans down in verse 15. And point two is simply this. The Spirit adopts us into God's family. This gives you a new identity. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. This is an incredible identity. He identifies you as a beloved child of God. Adoption means we are no longer spiritual orphans. We belong. We belong somewhere awesome. If your earthly experience, maybe today you go, hey, I don't have those great memories of a lot of children with their parents. Maybe you had a painful time. If that's the case, that's okay, because we have a heavenly parent, our Father in heaven. He is near, he is kind, and he is involved. And I want to just focus in a little bit here on the idea that he says that we get to be heirs of God. Now, I don't know if any of you grew up in wealthy families and you know that you're an heir to a great fortune. I mean, that'd be kind of nice, right? My family was middle class. I don't have any inheritance coming. My mom has passed, and my dad actually gave me my inheritance like 12, 13 years ago. It was like a rental property. And I appreciate it. He had gotten it from his family, and he just said, I'm giving it to you now. It helped my life out greatly as a minister back at the time, and it's helped me. But I don't have anything coming. You might have a lot coming. That's fine. You might have nothing coming. But the scriptures teach that you are an heir of God when the Holy Spirit. You are a co-heir with Christ. I want you to just absorb this reality. What does that look like? Let that sink in. If you are an heir of God and a co-heir of Christ, you have all the things that Jesus had. I mean, the idea that you're a co-heir with Jesus, that's mind-blowing. You mean everything he gets from the Father, we get? That is what the scriptures teach. That is your identity. Jesus' peace, it's yours. He says, my peace I give you. My joy, Jesus' joy, it's yours. Jesus' righteousness, now that, wait a minute. He was perfect. In him, we get made perfect in the eyes of God, not because we are in our flesh, but through his spirit, right? Jesus' inheritance, I mean, what is that exactly? I mean, I don't think it has to do with money. It has to do with things far more valuable than money, things that last forever. Jesus' identity as a beloved son or, you know, a child of God, it is your identity too. And I think we just don't give enough credence to this reality. We forget it. We don't think about it. We don't really accept it. We forget. If you know you're an heir, like, okay, let's be real. I traveled to the Middle East a little while ago, and I heard about the princes of the kings in some of these Middle Eastern countries. And they just walk around in charge of everything. Not worried about the law. Not everybody just caters. The princes, they control the economies over there. There's a sort of confidence in them. They know they're heir to all the wealth of that country. As sons and daughters of God, when you have the Spirit in you, you're adopted. You now have all these rights. What kind of confidence should you have? What kind of influence should you have? We're going to talk more about this, but I want us to grab a hold of us. You get to be a co-heir. Our identity, when the Spirit is in us, it defines us and says, you're a co-heir with Christ. That is mind-blowing. I hope you can accept that. I love the songs we sang today, right? Jireh, he is enough. Absolutely, he's enough. Because we get to be co-heirs with him by his Spirit being inside of us. Amen. Amazing stuff. So let's keep going a little bit further here. And I want to talk about another verse today that talks about different aspects of the Spirit in our life. And that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Let's read that together. And I have three final things I just want to hit. And I simply want to leave you with just the right concept of what your identity is when you have the Holy Spirit. So the verse says, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. He anoints us, he seals us, and he guarantees. He puts a deposit, guaranteeing. This is our identity. These are deep thoughts. When you have that kind of identity, it can change the way you go about your day. Okay, the first one, anointed for service. You know, we talked earlier in our Holy Spirit study series about how in the Old Testament, God anointed the kings. And then the Spirit came down upon them and gave them the power to lead the nation. Jesus was anointed to preach good news to the poor, right? To preach recovery of sight to the blind. We are anointed for service, to do great things. When you have the Holy Spirit, if you've accepted what he's done, you've received that Spirit, you now have an anointing. God's saying, I have a plan for your life, a big plan, an impacting plan, an opportunity for you to change lives, to influence people. Don't doubt that. Don't be negative. Stop thinking that your life's not valuable. It is. You have an anointing from God. I want to show you this little, we've been talking about world missions. As disciples, we have an anointing to change the whole world. I want to show you one of the videos from our Global Mission Society, Mervy. He's been doing this. I showed it a couple weeks ago, just to encourage us with our world mission and our anointing service to change the world. Let's look at it again.
Hey, this is Mervy on behalf of the Global Mission Service team. I'm here to let you know about the second week of our Eyes That See campaign on the All Nations app. Our theme this week is See the Needs. After recounting his own hardships in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says in verse 28, "Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." Our brother Paul cared about the physical and spiritual needs of the body of Christ. And we should too. Some of our churches around the world are enduring unthinkable challenges. And we will get to hear from disciples in Ukraine, Lebanon, Haiti, and more as they increase our faith by how they are living out theirs in troubled times. We also want to invite you to pray for our brothers and sisters in need. Whether humanitarian, material, financial, or spiritual, the needs are great, but our God is greater. I hope you'll join us this week on the All Nations app.
If you haven't downloaded the app, please download it. Incredible, inspiring information about what's going on around the world.
This is Mervy on behalf of the
globe. All right, we can go past that. All right, let me talk real quick about practically our anointing. Practically, what are we called to as disciples? We give annually a world special missions offering. We've been giving it for over 30 years to change the world, to build churches. We, in particular, support churches in the Middle East. We've been one of the primary funding churches for our churches in the Middle East. One of the stories that you'll see on the All Nations app is about Lebanon, miracles going on there. We're going to get to hear from the Egyptian leaders in June. We're going to join the Coastal for one of our Sundays, the last Sunday in June. We're going to join the Coastal LA Church, and we're going to gather together and hear from our Egyptian church leaders. They'll be in town in June. We're going to try to help expose you to what's going on in some of the mission field, but please be thinking about, hey, God's called me to something bigger than my own life to change the world. All right, we have a goal. We give through the months of June and through August to hit our special missions goal. We've done this every year. Our goal is similar this year. It goes to the Middle East. It goes to the Baltic Nordic region. A brother is coming in from Finland. He leads a church in Finland. He'll be speaking to us, I think, in a couple weeks as well, which is going to be awesome to hear from him. We're meeting needs locally and internationally. Please be a part of that. Amen. All right. The next thing I want to bring up, the idea of the Holy Spirit in your identity, is you are sealed. All right. Now, of course, the Catholic Church just elected a new pope, right? And when they get this guy, he gets a ring and he gets a seal. So any edict or any judgment he makes or anything he makes a decision about, he puts a seal on it. They're like, okay, new Pope Leo, he just said this is what's going on. Well, you have God's seal. The Bible says the Spirit seals you. The seal says that you are valuable. The seal marks you. The seal says you're something special. Carrie asked me to go shopping recently to buy organic food, some organic food. I was actually looking for organic tortillas. It was really hard to find those. And I kept looking and, well, you know, all kinds of different things. Finally, I found organic. And I read, okay, no pesticides. It's just sustainable type way. They're healthier foods. And you all know, how many of us in here buy organic food occasionally? Okay, it's expensive, isn't it? It's always more expensive. The quality stuff's more expensive. You've been sealed as high quality. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can get down. Get down on yourself sometimes? Any of you ever start having that sort of negative talk or like, why'd I do that? Or I shouldn't have done that. Or we can be perfectionists or we can get negative. We can think negative. Sometimes I do. But you got to remember, you are marked and sealed. God says you are mine. You are mine. You are quality. Yes, the Holy Spirit is changing you. It doesn't mean he doesn't want you to keep being refined. But you got to get back to the positive thinking, that joy, that sense of, I am quality. I am valuable. Your identity is valuable. He seals you in an incredible way. I think every one of us needs to understand that. I asked AI to give me a picture of people in Santa Monica being sealed by the Holy Spirit. And this is what it gave me. All right. Sort of the Spirit. Some, you know, here they are walking through Santa Monica. Some are sealed and some aren't. Right. And if you're sealed, you want to help others find that Spirit inside of them. But you have God in you, your identity says you are valuable. Don't forget that. And the last thing I want to bring up before we just close out here is that the Spirit, it's a deposit, it said, right? It's a deposit guaranteeing what is to come, okay, Steve, well, what is to come? And there's a lot to come, but what is the guarantee? You know, it's like a down payment. You got to finish making payments. You own it completely. God says, I own you. I'm putting a deposit in you. You're going to have it all at some point. Two things that came to my mind, all right? The first is resurrection of the body. I want you to think about this. The Holy Spirit guarantees that your body will be resurrected. Now, you might be like, what does that mean? The scriptures are clear. Those who are in Christ will at the resurrection have a new body, just like Jesus, right? Jesus resurrected from the dead physically. God has your DNA in his databanks. Doesn't matter what happens to your physical body, he will recreate it in perfection. How old will you be? I don't know. Maybe the perfect age, whatever that is for you. How will you look? The best you ever have. How will you feel? The best you ever have all the time. I mean, this is a mind-blowing idea. Jesus came back. We knew he could walk on water. He somehow had a physical body that could eat and yet walk through walls. It's a new physicality. It's quantum physics. I don't get it, but it says it's going to happen, and I believe it. The other thing is you get eternal fellowship with God. When you have the identity of God in you and you have this deposit, you get to ask him all the questions you ever had. Remember all those questions about the boy? Lord, what about this verse? You get to have conversations with Moses and ask him all the questions about those days that maybe we didn't quite get. You could ask Jesus, what did you do between the ages of 12 and age 30? I heard somebody's thinking about that lately. But what did he do? We don't exactly know, right? But we can find out when we get there. I mean, all the questions you've ever had, that's promised for us. Eternal fellowship with God. So here's the closing concept, guys. We need to apply this to our lives. Live by the Spirit identity, not your own worldly identity. And the bottom line is, you need to understand God has this for you. Let go of false identity scripts. You're beloved. Don't let fear, don't let shame, don't let family history dictate who you are. You are who God says you are. Lean into your adoption. Have that personal connection. Have that joy with God. Pray personally. I love Brother Lawrence, a famous monk who said he stayed in continual conversation with God all day long. He was intimate. It was close, and it brought him joy. And live anointed and sealed. Understand, walk with confidence. Believe you have impact. Don't be discouraged. Kick out those negative thoughts. Live by a spiritual identity. So who are you? You are who the Spirit says you are. You are adopted, you are anointed, you are sealed, and you are guaranteed a future with God. That's your identity. That's who you truly are. If you've not received the Spirit, we want that for you. Talk to some of us. We'll help guide you to that. We'll give you the free gift. We want you to see how God wants to give it to you. We'll teach you the scriptures. But we are identified by the Spirit. Amen? Let's go to God in prayer right now and ask him to just imprint us with his message. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this time to reflect on you, to see your selflessness in mothers, but then to reflect on how the Holy Spirit gives us a new identity. Help us to live into that identity, to trust it, to reject false identity ideas that come from the world or bad thinking. Help us to understand the truth that we are formed by you, changed by you, that we're adopted by you, that we're co-heirs. Lord, help us to understand we're anointed, we're sealed, and we're guaranteed something really special. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.